there is a place where the troubles of the world melt away. While that might seem unattainable at times, I assure you, my friend, it's as close as your nearest cereal bowl. Hello and welcome to the Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
My name is Dan Gobert, and I am a, well, I would call myself the cereal champion, in the sense that after you defeat the cereal Elite Four, I will be waiting for you at the end. The cereal Elite Four, or if I may call them, the General Mills cereal Basic Four, might be a bit of a deep cut of a reference, but if there's anywhere to make it, it's here.
I'm so glad you've joined us here today. If this is your first episode of the Empty Bowl, welcome. We're thrilled to have you. This is a safe place for you to just relax. The troubles of the world can melt away like so much frosting off of the Fruit Loop into the milk of tranquility. And we're just so happy to be here. We're going to talk about some cereal news. We're going to talk about reviews. But I would just invite you to just kind of relax. And let's talk about cereal. And you know what's a perfect pairing? Some kind cereal. Then that sounds perfect. Just some kind cereal.
Yeah. So you've probably heard of cereal bars before. Have you ever heard of bar cereals before?
No. This is an inversion, the likes of which the world is not prepared for, I fear.
Yeah. It's sort of a commitment to entropy here in that kind. The makers of Kind bars, all sorts of, you know, granola-based rectangular prisms, have decided to foray into the cereal game with four flavors of Kind cereal exclusive to Walmart. I think we are looking at a pretty mixed bag here when it comes to flavors. We have cranberry almond and honey almond, both of which are kind of familiar in the terms of just combining nuts and fruit or honey. But I believe there's also some more interesting flavors here. There's an apple cinnamon kind cereal. Apple cinnamon isn't entirely unfamiliar in the cereal aisle. Obviously, there's apple cinnamon Cheerios and the seasonally available apple cinnamon Special K. So I'm excited for this one. But I think the most exciting kind cereal out of this very pleasant quartet would be the dark chocolate almond kind cereal. I think when I first heard about the Kind cereal, it reminded me a lot about the Cerealology cereals that we tried in the previous episode.
Oh, yeah.
And so after trying, I believe there were 9 of those, I saw this new sort of super grain-based cereal and thought, I'm going to postpone thinking about this for a while I still digest the multitude of, you know, great grains that I had before. But Now that I've had some time to digest everything, I think I'm most excited for this dark chocolate almond variant, just because the Cerealology cereals really, really kind of missed the mark when it came to a straightforward chocolate flavor. So even though Kind is pricing these, at least according to Walmart.com, at $6.98 per box, kind of a premium. So I'm hoping they justify the dosh here, but that is the one I think I'll probably start with if I decide to review them and don't want to spend $28 to run the whole gauntlet.
I'm sure that your Google, your ad search revenue will more than make up for it.
Yeah, all those people excited about cranberry almonds.
This one is a neat new, I love a new entrant into the marketplace. We got Kind, stepping in, and now, what's off limits? Obvious on this show, anything other than cereal and sometimes Pop-Tarts, but what is off limits cereal?
So this one kind of blew my mind when I first heard about it, and I got really, really excited to read into it, because off limits is another sort of indie cereal, and I feel like indie cereal is only really a thing that's been a thing for the past couple of years, just because of, you know, there's 4 major cereal companies, and anyone else who tries to make cereal is kind of you know, outside the sphere of influence. But Off-Limits Serial has a very interesting approach to it. It's a very sort of millennial or zennial approach to Serial, in that they started with these very, very wacky mascots. There's two flavors of Off-Limits Serial available. There's Zombie and Dash. And the purpose behind these two flavors was apparently to speak to realistic archetypes of serial consumers. So you have Zombie, which is a vanilla and pandan serial, if I'm saying that correctly. And this is really meant to appeal to those of us who love to chill out. I mean, who amongst us doesn't love to relax and do nothing for a while? I learned a lot about pandan as sort of ingredient just by researching this cereal, and it's supposed to relax you. I think this is like the cereal equivalent of those Marley teas that they have, in that it's supposed to just chill you out as you eat it. And I think that's exciting, versus the converse of that, which would be Dash, which is coffee and cocoa cereal. We've seen coffee and cereal before, and there's definitely, you know, there's Dunkin' cereals on the way as well that also include caffeine. But I think having this duality between a chill cereal and a very, very active cereal is very relevant to my life, in that some days I want to eat a bowl of cereal and, you know, sink into the couch like it's the Marianas Trench, versus eating cereal and actually being a productive human for a day.
Yeah.
But I think what's most interesting is that, again, they both have mascots behind them. Zombie, obviously, is a zombie. And Dash is a very, very hyperactive rabbit, like you would see with Agoretsuko, I think the TV show is what it reminded me of. But they really made a big deal about sharing that this is the first female cereal mascot out there. And we've talked about that on the show before, about how there's a really, really notable dearth of female cereal mascots, and I think that someone actually designing one with that in mind to break these boundaries is really, really indicative of what this cereal brand is trying to do altogether, which is really subvert the status quo when it comes to cereal and do something entirely different.
They have prizes, which I think is a cool touch. When you buy kind of their way of bringing back toys and cereal. When you buy cereal, you earn tickets, and you can trade in your tickets for toys and gifts. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting, because with any indie cereal, it's going to end up costing more than anything you'll find in a grocery store, just because of the logistics behind making an actual cereal. Right. It's really difficult if you don't have...
With real ingredients, too, I think, is to consider.
If you don't have like millions of dollars in venture capital to put into your cereal, it's going to end up costing more. But I think it's really, really fun how Off-Limits is, offsetting the cost of the cereal by giving you these free giveaways when you buy stuff. Like, I bought a box of each flavor, and while it was more than I would spend for a cereal in store, I also got, they've got different options you can pick from, like magic markers, keychains, and things like that. But I got a can of spray paint featuring the Dash character, because the Off-Limits cereal is all about breaking the rules, so to speak. I don't know what I'm going to do with the spray paint yet, but I think it's very... The very contrast of receiving a box in the mail that contains cereal and also spray paint is just...
Yeah.
It's really fun.
The only limit is your imagination, Dan. You can do whatever you want to with the spray paint.
Yeah, the whole thing is fun. I think a full review of the actual flavors is yet to come on this podcast, but early on, I'm very much endorsing this idea as being very creative and kind of exactly what the cereal industry needs in terms of a progressive, younger mode of thought towards the genre.
Even their website is cool, eatofflimits.com. They got there's a little game on there where you can earn tickets if you find a bunch of stars on their website. And they've got an art gallery you can buy from.
Yeah, they're very, very supportive of like local art as well. So I'm very, very excited for them. I wish them all the best. And you'll definitely be hearing more about Off Limits and the future of Empty Bowl as well.
Yeah. So next up, Fruit Loops Ice Pops. Yet another configuration, a different medium for the Fruit Loops flavor.
You know, I gotta give this a 0 out of 10 right off the bat without even trying it, just because it's not nearly as fun to say as Fruit Loops Peeps Pops. You gotta agree with me there.
That's, I mean, it's inarguable.
Fruit Loops ice pops are...
You are wanted to say Fruit Loops Peeps Pops, didn't you? Your mouth was craving it.
Fruit Loops Pice Pops are basically exactly what they sound like, in that they are popsicles meant to taste like Fruit Loops. I think when you talk about Fruit Loops cereal itself, everybody kind of knows that every single color tastes the same.
Yes.
But I kind of hoped when I first saw Fruit Loops Ice Pops that the four different colors, which are red, green, an orangey yellow, and a purple, would taste different. But early feedback says that they, again, still taste the same.
Yeah.
So I'm not against Fruit Loops being essentially the face of Kellogg's peripheral cereal products. I think it's a lot better than trying to make like a Frosted Flakes ice pop, which would probably be the alternative to this. But I guess it remains to be seen whether they can thoroughly infuse Fruit Loops flavor into something that could melt into a liquid.
Well, here's hoping. I don't know. I don't like popsicles. I don't get it. My kids are wild about them. I don't really dig it.
I mean, if nothing else, you could melt the popsicles and drink some Fruit Loops water.
There's always that. That's something you've always dreamed of.
Yeah, gargling some Fruit Loops water.
Speaking of fruity cereal, tell me about fruity cereal Kit Kats.
Oh, I mean, they're fruity cereal flavored Kit Kats. I don't know how much more straightforward we can be with
this. It's pretty basic right there. They've got the loops on there, so I assume that they just couldn't get the branding. Mm-hmm. I have to, the thing that's wild, I don't know if you have anything you want to say about this specifically. It is fruity cereal Kit Kats. The thing that struck me about it is this post says that they're coming in summer of 2021.
Yeah, I mean.
And I just don't know how much notice I need.
To set prepare your calendars myself. Now, folks.
Prepare your home. Get ready for your daughter's 7th birthday. Just prepare your home. Prepare your life. Get ready, because in a year or so, you're going to be fleetingly eating a Kit Kat based vaguely of Fruit Loops.
It's funny, because this news comes from an Instagram account called JunkFoodLeaks_. And so it's obviously, it makes sense that they would leak this junk food, but their bio says, I may pop up, I may disappear, but if junk food is around, just know I'm near. Which makes me imagine that the very fact that they leaked these fruity cereal Kit Kats has put them on a hit list, and they have to adopt an assumed identity just to, you know, make it to summer of 2021 when these actually come out.
That's wild. I don't know. They'll probably be fine. Kit Kat gets wild. They do a lot of different wild things. It's not that much to say about it, I guess. There is a lot to say about green onion Chex, though, Daniel.
Can we really still call this a meditative podcast about cereal to discuss?
This is a good time to explore some darker stuff in your meditation if you've been waiting to. But green onion Chex.
If you're the sort of person who falls asleep to this podcast, I'm sorry for the nightmares you might endure about now. But green onion Chex, if you haven't listened to the episode before this already, I really recommend that you do, because the story behind green onion Chex is actually pretty insane. It is 16 years in the making, in that back in 2004, Kellogg's of South Korea made sort of a joke commercial about a cereal election between two candidates. One was Checky, the chocolate Chex piece, who promised to double the amount of chocolate in your Chex cereal, versus Chaka, who is this horrifying and ever so horrifying creature who wanted to bring green onion to your cereal. And back in 2004, in the earlier days of the internet, Kellogg's of South Korea thought it would be fun to do sort of a mock poll online for kids to decide which they would rather see in the cereal aisle, chocolate Chex or green onion Chex. And basically, non-children hijacked the poll to make green onion Chex win. And since Kellogg's of South Korea never planned to release such a cereal, they just declare the results invalid and drop the chocolate cereal instead. But 16 years later now, just out of nowhere, this cereal has arrived, and I'm looking at it now, and I gotta say that this is the most foreboding cereal that I've ever encountered in my life. It has a menacing aura. It just makes me uncomfortable looking at it, smelling it, opening it.
It knows exactly what it's doing.
It's... Oh, okay. Where to start? Let's see.
Have you already eaten it?
I've eaten some of it, and yeah. I think that's enough.
Have you had the spiritual readiness to, like, make a bowl of it with milk? Because that seems like where things would really start to fall apart.
All right. So, like... I love Chex Mix, so to speak, and in America, there is sour cream and onion Chex Mix, and it's really good, so I thought, how much different could this really be? And this stuff is, first of all, so sticky, is the thing.
It's very sticky. Like, sticky cereal.
I tried to pour a bowl, and nothing came out, because the entire box was stuck together. And if you try it dry, yes, I would say it tastes like green onion and probably nothing else. Like, they didn't really try to make this a cereal so much as a vehicle for green onion. I have to doubt kind of the origin story of this, because it makes more sense to believe that back when Chaco won the poll 16 years ago, they did make this cereal, and after witnessing the power that it has, they had to lock it away or seal it away like a Ganondorf or Pennywise type figure. Because it's all right if you eat it dry. I can see it maybe working.
I'll be honest, I kind of dug it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, dry, right? I had like a couple of squares. I reserve a special day of the week for eating junk food, and today was not that day. But I kind of liked it. Kind of had like a the onion is like there. It is not like when we're thinking of a like the chicken and waffle cereal, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where the chicken flavor was just kind of like a little kiss of chicken. This was like absolutely kind of like tasted like eating crispy onions, or like that. There's some sweet strains of onions. It reminded me of eating those. Not for my money, and my wife pointed this out, this is not a cereal you would put on a bowl, but there are applications that I think would be very good for this cereal. Things like, she suggested putting them in a salad, which I think would be pretty delicious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Using them to coat, like, to bread chicken or something like that, like as a breading, they would be very good. And even as, like, as part of a Chex Mix, as a component in, I think they could be good. It's not something you eat with a bowl. It's a stunt. That would be a stunt.
Yeah, I mean, I had to try it with milk just because that's kind of my format for reviewing things.
Sure.
But the real problem here is that the only milk I have in my house is vanilla oat milk. And
oh, goddamn.
Let me tell you, the combination of vanilla and green onion cereal resulted in the shortest possible time between insertion of spoon into mouth and deposit of cereal into garbage can that I've ever experienced in the 5 years of my life writing about cereal.
That's on you. You should have used a regular milk.
Yeah, it's like the chicken and waffle cereal, I kind of felt embarrassed for them, but... This is a cereal that embarrasses me, and I kind of need to lock it away in my pantry for my own protection. But green onion cereal, I would recommend it as a novelty, maybe to
it's
hardcore cereal
fans. It's probably not worth
fans.
The money that
yeah,
you're going to pay to get it here.
The cost of import is rough, and I think this is more something that belongs in a cereal museum, much more than my stomach.
If you, I got to thank Gabe from Cereal Time. A fantastic YouTube show that you should be watching if you enjoy this. It is my cereal unwinding. You know, it's like Pagliacci, you know? For me, when I need to unwind with cereal, I watch Cereal Time on YouTube. So check out Gabe's channel over there.
Checks it out.
maybe a brighter note with Tropical Fruit Loops.
Oh, a much brighter note. I mean, we talked about... Obviously, we've talked about it several times, how much we love tropical Fruit Loops in comparison to normal Fruit Loops, or worst loops, as they'll probably be called from now until the end of time. But obviously, we only had experience with the Mexican version of tropical Fruit Loops until it was just imported to the States, probably because of what we said about it. I like to imagine.
I have to imagine. It's the only thing that makes sense.
I was worried that it wouldn't taste like what we had before south of the border, but from my experience at least, it's exactly the same. I don't know about you.
See, I don't know. I don't think so.
Really?
I would need to compare, Dan, I would need to compare them one-to-one. Now, okay, so here's what we, this is a meditative podcast about cereal.
I dropped a lot of cereal right there.
This is a meditative podcast about cereal. And so I hope you'll permit me this diversion. I don't, when I tasted it, it did not make me feel the way I remember feeling the first time I tasted Tropical Fruit Loops Mexican version. I don't know if that is because the formulation is different or that I have so built up in my head the deliciousness of tropical Fruit Loops, much the same as we tend to color any pleasant experiences from our past with a rose tint. I worry that I might have imbued them in my mind's eye with more pineapple and coconut flavor, which I feel like this is slightly lacking. But it's very close. I would need to try them head to head to remember, but I will say that is my, you know, that would be my opinion, is that they're not exactly the same formulation. I don't know though. Maybe the cereal experts.
I mean, I would definitely trust your take on it because I think you loved it so much more than mine, but I think my only criteria of comparison, because like trying to compare taste bud sensations from months ago compared to now is very difficult. But when I when I boiled down the original taste of Tropical Fruit Loops, I considered it similar to the clear gummy bears in a sort of a Haribo mix. And I did get that same sort of impression here. But I will say that the overall packaging and branding of it is very much a downgrade. I think that's just a consequence of American approaches to cereal and being very formulaic about how they redress Toucan Sam in different outfits, change the box color, and call it a day. It's definitely less inspired, but I think overall I would still recommend it over a normal Fruit Loop.
Lest we languish too long in Tropical Fruit Loops land, because I could. It's still a delicious cereal. I don't want to take anything away from that. You must try this cereal. It is a delight. Cookies and Cream Krispies. I'm so jealous that you found these.
Yeah, it was weird because I was really desperate to try the Tropical Fruit Loops and Cookies and Cream Rice Krispies, which debuted sort of in tandem, that I bought them off eBay at a very, very, very upcharged price of like $10 a box. And then I went to my local Meijer store the next day and found both of them, of course, for like $3 or whatever. But I bought them again, so the Cookies and Cream Krispies are a lot less notable, I would say. I'm not necessarily the best judge of a Krispies character because I don't like those light and sort of empty cereals that don't really impact your gut in any sort of tangible way. But
right.
The flavor of them is really, to me at least, like a middle ground between a Rice Krispies and a Cocoa Krispies. Like, it doesn't necessarily bring anything new to the table. It sort of subdues that chocolate flavor with maybe a little bit of vanilla, maybe a little bit of cocoa butter if you really want to tell yourself that that's there. But ultimately, I wouldn't pick these over Cocoa Krispies if I had the chance. That's just me, though. And especially if you're looking for cookies and cream, there's a lot of other cereals out there. Oreo O's. Yeah, just go with Oreo O's, in my opinion.
I have never heard of Three Wishes chocolate cereal.
I think we've talked about Three Wishes cereal here in the past. It's another one of those premium type cereals in that, yes.
Oh, this is ringing a bell now, yes. Okay.
in that, yes, it will cost you more than your average cereal, but it's intended for more specialty diets, for people who don't want to, you know, eat the processed ingredients of whatever you find in the breakfast aisle, etc. So if you're willing to spend more than your average dollar for cereal, I will genuinely recommend the Three Wishes line, because I think that their choice of using chickpeas as their base grain surprisingly works out really well for the overall integrity of the cereal, because when alternative cereals try, you know, alternative grains, it can kind of be a mixed bag of what feels like the real thing versus something that's healthy but not exactly a clear facsimile of a normal cereal. But these are really, really solid in that you don't taste the base grain and you only really taste what's added to them. And in the case of the chocolate one, I think it works pretty well for them. It's, again, it's pretty sticky for a cereal. I don't know why that's what I noticed. Probably because I tend to eat cereal right out from the box with my hands. But if you're looking for a chocolate cereal that is a bit better for you, has some more natural ingredients, and you don't really care for price as much, I think this is definitely a top tier sort of indie cereal in that sense. So I applaud them for that, for making a pretty close facsimile of a real cereal.
We I like to put questions to you, our listeners. I love this question, I'm seeing four responses, so there had to be, these have to be pretty choice, our inbox there.
Let me tell you that the answers to this one were more unhinged than anything I've heard in my life. I respect everyone's imagination here, but there were some real out there ideas, so proceed with caution.
Okay. So we asked you for unconventional foods that can be turned into cereals, and we're all going to take a little trip together. Here we go.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Liz from British Columbia. My weird food that I would turn into a cereal is goldfish crackers. I know that sounds kind of weird, but when I was younger, I used to fill up a bowl with milk and then a different bowl with goldfish, and then I would bite the goldfish in half and use them to scoop up the milk and then eat them like that. And I know it sounds weird, but it was very good. And I think that it would work very well as a cereal. Thank you for your podcast.
Greetings, Dan and Justin. This is Britt from Nebraska. My unusual cereal flavor suggestion is sushi cereal. Rice-based rings with little dried nori and dried salmon pieces, similar to a furikake, or rice seasoning mix from Japan. It would be a nice salty and lightly sweet mix and would bring an unusual savory taste to the breakfast aisle. I have tested this flavor with rice chex and a furikake seasoning mix, and it was surprisingly good.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Joshua from Winnipeg, Manitoba. My idea of a unusual food to cereal conversion would be fried pierogi with sour cream and chives. The pieces would be shaped like little potato dumplings, and I think they would have the crunch that you would need to make for a very satisfying bite. I think it could make for a hearty breakfast bowl that would fill any worker's belly for the day ahead. Thank you for the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Hello, Dan and Justin. This is Chloe from Arkansas. My outside-the-bowl idea for a cereal would be Hot Cheetos cereal. This is based on a Hot Cheetos-flavored ice cream that I once had. The creaminess of the milk and the sweetness of the ice cream paired well with the Hot Cheetos spiciness, so I believe this would translate well into a cereal. Also, the kids love these spicy chips. Thanks for the podcast.
Y'all are absolutely off your nut. Mm-hmm. Every single one of you are unhinged. I think some of you were just hungry. I think you just wanted to eat these foods you were describing. This is my theory. I will say the goldfish idea is kind of interesting. You know what it would need? Peanut butter. If you introduced a peanut butter element to that, I think you could really be onto something with that one.
Counterpoint, a pretzel component. Because when I was growing up, my grandma's favorite sort of snack concept was fishing, which was the idea of taking a pretzel stick, dipping it in peanut butter, and then attaching goldfish to that in order to make this trifecta of flavor. And I think if you're really, really going to go outside the boundaries of what's logical or possible, you might as well go for broke and add the pretzel element as well.
If you let's see if we have a new question. Do you have anything springing to mind, Dan? Anything that we have talked about?
I'm gonna defer to you on this one personally.
Okay, let me see. Hey, you know what? We have kind bars here that have transmogrified into cereal. What bar-shaped snack would you like to see become a cereal rather than kind bars? I want to see your bar treat, snack, treat, dessert, doesn't matter, bar-shaped food that you would like to become a cereal. You can go to bold.rest and you can send us a message. There's a button that says leave a message. And you can plug in a microphone, ideally, and just send us your answer to that question. We'd love to hear from you. Dan, before we close out, 2020 Monster Cereals starting to make their appearance, this time via Count Chocula Treats, and courtesy of Positively Ghostbusters on Twitter. It is vintage. It looks like a vintage look, all the way back to when they were still calling them Marshmallow Sweeties. The classic Count Chocula. And we're wondering, and I'm sure you're wondering, I'm wondering, you know, does it, is this the look for this year? Is that where we're going?
So this has been kind of troubling me all day, if not all week, really, just because there's a lot of weird info out there. And when it comes to the monster cereals, obviously Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Boo Berry, the traditional three, you usually see an official announcement from General Mills on the theme of the year for these cereals around mid-August, so it's not unusual for leaks or early spottings to occur in late July, as it has now. So Positively Ghostbusters, again, has spotted at Sam's Club these Count Chocula treats using a vintage packaging, hearkening back to the original design of Count Chocula himself. But at the same time, Cereal Life, which is an Instagram cereal-focused account, has also noticed that Sam's Club has listed a Monster Cereal 3-pack on their website, available for purchase now, that shows the exact same box design that we saw in 2018. Because if you remember in 2019, we had the Addams Family crossover, which was kind of just a lame pumpkin carving decal on the back of the box. So it's hard to trust whether the online representation of this cereal, since the listing, according to the reviews on it, is the same listing as we saw years prior. I like to hope that there's more coming for the Monster Cereals. I don't know what you would expect as the best possible outcome for them.
Oat.
I know, but like, is it really fair to ourselves to hope that General Mills will ever bring back oat flour-based monster cereals?
Dan, listen. And I want everybody else to listen. Through the power of sheer will and believing in ourselves, we made Tropical Fruit Loops come to America.
That's true.
If we did that, we're strong, we're powerful, and we can do anything. We can get the oats back into the monster cereals. Maybe just a limited time, maybe just a single run, maybe just a box for us. Whatever that looks like, whatever victory looks like. I think we can do it.
It's just, it's like, we wanted change from the monster cereals for so long. I'm content to accept anything more than just different box art, different marshmallows. I'm not asking you to add a new monster. That's reserved for my more idealistic and wide-eyed youthful days.
Sure.
But I'm begging General Mills, if you're listening, General H.R. Mills himself, if you are listening, please just do something different. I can't bear to go another Halloween with the bare minimum being all that's in my bowl.
Yeah. People love these cereals, y'all. People look forward to it. You got to bring something big. Bring the heat. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We hope you're feeling relaxed or asleep, whatever your goal was. We are at bowl.rest. That's our web address. mail@bowl.rest is when you can send us your emails. If you want to talk about something cereal related, we would love that.
Mm-hmm. And as always, we have many people to thank for this podcast that we were sharing with you today. We'd like to thank Emily Loper for doing our show editing, Chris Zabriskie for his opening theme of The Sun is scheduled to come out tomorrow, as well as Bria Davis for our amazing, amazing beachy podcast art. We couldn't do it without you, so thank you.
That is going to do it for us. For Dan Gabert, my name is Justin McElroy, and as always,
Just drinking the milk?
Don't forget about it.
Just don't forget to drink the milk, man.
Very casual. I like that. I like the intensity.
Very honest.